This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, joining you every week here on Christ Together Radio. Alongside Ryan Cozy, we co-host together here on Christ Together on Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at noon right here on WDCX and also online. You can check us out at WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and you can go to Christ Together Radio, get all our recent episodes. In fact, I think all of our programs and episodes are on there, some 50 of them. So if you have nothing better to do, sit there and listen to 50 hours of Ryan's brilliance.
You can do that.
You can do that if you want. And we're glad to be here with you. If you've never joined us before, Ryan is the missional engagement pastor at the chapel at Cross Point. We call him Dr. Ryan Cozy, officially, and I'm the general manager here at WDCX. And so glad to be with you every week, sharing what God is doing in the Western New York region. And we've also brought some people in from national context to talk about what God is doing in their world, but it kind of relates to Western New York and just kind of the relationships we've built over the years and that Ryan has built, especially over the years in church planting and just development of watching God move on mission. That's the theme of the show, is God is moving, God is on mission, and we want to get underneath where he's doing, find out where he's moving and get involved and get engaged in his mission. Ryan, yeah. It's great to have another week kicked off here.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, kind of along those lines for this week alone, I just think about, I happen to be in Washington this week. And part of why I was brought down there was we doing some stuff with some other churches throughout the country. But it gets to the point in the discussion where people really wanted to ask about, well, what does collaboration really look like in Buffalo? And the number of things that we were able to talk about, things like the Community Loan Fund, which have come up in discussion before, things like the Church Planting Initiative, things like affordable accredited education, things like affordable health care in the name of Jesus, all these things in the name of Jesus. You know, I just thought, hey, you know, everybody's got these kind of stories. And you know, no offense to the cities that were represented, but, you know, what turned out to be an example of like, well, just what's going on in your city turned into a discussion of, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. And it was just really encouraging to kind of come out of our context for a day, go down into a world city like Washington and be on a plane back home going, man, God, you really are allowing something really special to happen here. There's still much more work to be done. There's still much more that needs to happen. But man, God is doing something really fun in this region, and it's going to take all of us.
It is, and it's fun to watch. And sometimes when you're in the middle of something, and Ryan, when you're so daily attached to the Church of Western New York and what's happening, the things are happening and things are growing and moving, and you kind of miss them because you're in the middle of it. And when you step back, and I think that's what that allowed you to do, step back and take that 10,000-foot view, you start to realize, wow, God, you're doing a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot more to go and a lot to do, but it's just really cool to watch how God is moving in Western New York. And I've been privileged to sit and watch as well. And somebody else who's been involved in that joining us today is Pastor Paul Gartley from Hamburg. Never mind. I won't tell you what I almost said. Hamburg Wesleyan Church.
Dr. Paul Gartley.
No. Yeah.
And just so, so glad to have you in studio today. And we've been kind of invisible partners in ministry for so many years in Western New York. And great to finally meet you officially firsthand and known who you are and obviously known of Hamburg Wesleyan for so many years. A wonderful church that has served the Lord for many, many years. And I'm sure Hamburg Wesleyan is no stranger to Western New York, and everybody kind of knows that church. That is kind of the big player in the South Towns.
Really. It is.
People and know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's got a very rich history. Paul's been a part of some recent organizational change, and so he'd been a part of prior leadership. He's part of new leadership, and that's actually what we're going to be talking about. Is like, what does it look like to be in a regionally postured church? To lead through change. And so some of these stories are going to be about, like, how does that affect kingdom partnership? How does it affect expansion in the kingdom, the ability to work with others? So I think there's a lot to discuss here today. And Paul, we want to welcome you to the show. And thanks for being here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is, you know, I've never been in here before. It's pretty interesting to be in this whole setting, right? Yeah, this is fantastic. If you've never been in here, you have to just stop by, and they'd love to host you, I'm sure.
It's actually torture for ADD people. There's so many blinky lights.
That's right.
That's my problem.
Squirrel. Yeah. Right.
We use it as therapy.
Concentrate.
Look at all that. Concentrate. Right. It's really remarkable.
Well, glad to have you today, yeah. And we're looking forward to having you on Christ Together Radio, talking about leadership and how to work through transition. And just, you know, what's funny about leadership is everybody's always got a little, I don't know, trick or a book out on how to do things. And leadership is so much more about character, and just leading through change is just, it's not, nobody can write a book on it, and you can't follow a manual. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today, hopefully a little bit. I don't even know, but I'm guessing that's where we're going to go with it. And just watching how God steps in to his church and his ministries and guides through leadership is going to be really great. And Paul's going to share that with us today. So stay with us on Christ Together Radio. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. As always, we don't break for long, so don't change the dial. Come right back and listen to us right here on WDCX Radio. You're listening to Christ Together Radio.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brent Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. Thanks for joining us today. We have Paul Gartling in studio. Paul, what is your exact title at Hamburg Wesleyan?
Yeah, I'm the outreach pastor at the church. So,
outreach pastor at Hamburg Wesleyan Church, and you've been with Hamburg Wesleyan how long?
18 years.
18 years. Wow.
Are you kidding me?
No, 18 years. Isn't that crazy? Oh, I started when I was 12. It's really a remarkable story. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Right.
Prophetic child.
Right. Yeah. It was unreal. They took a risk, and here I am.
Took a risk on a young guy.
18 years later, I'm still there, right?
Take a flyer on this kid.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you here in studio today and alongside Ryan as well. And Ryan, thanks for coming down as usual. And
no place else I'd rather be.
Well, maybe a few places.
At least for a couple hours.
You'd rather be on a retreat in the Adirondacks.
Speaking of retreats in the Adirondacks, right. Paul.
I have a great lead for everybody out there. Yeah, fantastic.
That's great. Paul's coming to us all refreshed. And Paul, it's great to have you in studio. Ryan, I guess I'm going to throw it to you for just a minute, and maybe you can talk about how you guys know each other and some of your experiences, and then go back to what it's like to hear about transition, to hear about when a kind of a main pastor who, I don't know if Greg was the founding pastor, but certainly it grew a lot through what Greg did at Hamburg Wesleyan. I know the church goes way back.
Yeah, he's been there. He was there 38 years, and actually we're celebrating 60 years this year.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But certainly during Greg's leadership at Hamburg Wesleyan, the church exploded, and God did so much through that church. And then, you know, the leadership change in those is really delicate, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah. But maybe you guys can take it,
absolutely.
Ryan.
Yeah, so Paul and I, we met, probably 9 years or so ago.
That sounds about right. It seems like forever, but maybe not quite.
We were part of the, there was an initial move in the region. There was a missiologist by the name of Dwight Smith who started coming in and around the chapel. And the chapel, you know, historically, we didn't really have the greatest track record of partnering with other churches. And this is what this guy was talking about. Like, if you're going to reach every man, woman, and child with the gospel, you need to get some partners.
Right.
And so we clearly didn't have any. And so we just kind of began the slow, I think is an important word, the slow process of trying to cultivate trust.
Sure.
And Paul and Greg McLean and Jim Clements, a number of other folks, were a part of those initial learning communities, is what we called them. And I don't know, Paul and I kind of, because we're both at two of the larger churches in the region, we have a similar role in that we're trying to broker partnerships, and we're trying to mobilize people. And so, you know, just over the years, you just kind of get to know each other a little bit better, and you kind of have a kindred spirit with someone who has a similar, you know, kind of role within an organization. And then, you know, with that, you kind of start dreaming and hoping that, you know, that every church is busy, right? So you got a million things that you got to do. But those times where you can step outside of the busyness and you can look across and see another church and go, man, what could happen if?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how our friendship began to grow a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. And we have common friends who really had a vision for our friendship even before we met and really started getting together, right? Yeah. So there's some folks in Buffalo who who I think are on the cutting edge, and you know this as well as anybody, Ryan, the cutting edge of what the church should do in a city.
Yeah.
And we've been really benefited from these lay folks who have really driven a lot of what's happening in our city so far. So,
yeah.
And we were sort of put together in that setting with other pastors in our area, but with a common vision to see Christ come to our city in ways that, you know, we just haven't seen before,
right,
to break down some of the walls that have divided for a long time and to represent the church well.
Yeah, and it's, you know, so, I mean, that's kind of been our, that's kind of how we've started to work together with one another. But I think it would be fun, too, is, you know, our listening audience, what's the story of Paul? How did Paul come to know Jesus? And, you know, not the apostle Paul, but, you know.
On my way to Damascus.
But, you know, I mean, everybody's got a story, and you get into a position of leadership like you're in today, and there was a road that led you there. And so we'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I didn't necessarily start off thinking I'd be a pastor. In fact, I think I ran from the call, as is a typical story, for a number of years, because my faith journey really began when I was in high school. You know, I was one of those Young Life kids at a local high school that sort of heard the gospel, and it set me on fire, right? We can remember those times, or that time when we first heard it, and, you know, we were strangely warmed, to use a John Wesley term, right? We were, something happened in our hearts where we were, I had to, man. I'm at a Wesleyan church. I had to represent.
So strangely warmed, John.
I'm actually using that in the message this weekend, so it was right there on the tip of my tongue. Right. But I knew from that moment forward that I would be engaged in ministry somehow. I just didn't know what it looked like. And I tried to run from it for a while.
Right.
When I first went to university or to college, I went to UB as an engineer, actually. And I was, you know, I'm very mechanical. My mind works very, you know, linear. That's just how I work. And I thought I'd be an engineer, but I hated it.
Okay.
Because I was running from the call.
Okay.
Right? I was running from what God had for me. And through a series of events, which I won't share here because it really will bore everybody and they'll turn this off if I really get into the detail. But through a series of events, I ended up at Hamburg, not yet on staff. And the then youth pastor said, you know what, I'm splitting the high school and the middle school ministry. Would you be interested in running with the high school kids? So that was back in April of 99 when I started there working with high school kids, not yet a pastor, not yet, you know, just the director of high school ministries. And I love high school kids because there's something about that age where they think they know everything, but really they know next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this opportunity to shape and mold them into the humans that hopefully they'll become someday that are productive and really love Christ and serve our world. So I loved my role in high school ministry and did that for a long time. Became a pastor, worked on all my ministry training in that time. And it was a beautiful time working with high school kids. But then this is how my worlds have all collided. I always had this desire to go to Africa. You know, something in me, maybe it wasn't even placed there by God, but I want to go to Africa, right? So our church started doing work in Zambia, and the opportunity came to go on this trip to Zambia. And I said, yeah. So I ended up going, and I led the trip. I was the youngest one from our, you know, the team, but I led the trip. And I'll never forget, do you have those moments, you know, this is my second moment where God really spoke into my life. It was in this little church in this middle of this village called Muntu Wobulungo. Say that 12 times fast.
For those of you keeping score at home, that is spelled
M-U-U-N-T-U. Right. So when you're out there, and it was this worship service in the middle of the night, it was dark, no electricity, no nothing. But the singing was powerful and the spirit was present in an undeniable way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hot. People were crammed in the windows and the doors, and it was just this moment. And I knew from that point forward that my role in student ministry was changing, and that somehow I'd be engaged in the world in different and unique ways.
Right.
So came home from that trip and started taking high school trips to Zambia every summer. High school kids, I think there's something really interesting when you get them out of their current context and put them in another place and see what God does, because all of a sudden what they know to be true is shattered. And in our setting in suburban Buffalo, you know, it's pretty vanilla. So to get kids out of that context and to serve in a different way has changed a lot of their lives, and I love doing that. It was so incredible.
Wow.
So our church developed this outreach pastor position. And
so real quick, you were in high school ministry for about how long?
For about 10 years.
Wow.
10 years.
Okay.
So I've been doing what I'm doing now, so the first 10 years of my ministry were in high school ministry.
Wow. So that transition leads to the role that you're in today, correct?
Yeah.
So, how did that happen?
So the church was going to form this outreach pastor position, and at first it was a part-time role. I'm like, no, I can't do part-time. That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to make it a full-time, but they were going to do a national search. I'm like, wow, they really want somebody from the outside. I'll just let them run with it and see what happens. And then our executive pastor came to me. It was before Christmas. It was like 5 days before Christmas. He said, you know, you need to put your name in for this. I think the position is made for you.
Wow.
So I did. They brought two folks in from the outside and one and myself, and they interviewed all three of us. And I don't ever know what happened to the other two. They're gone, and I'm sort of glad they are.
It was a moment of feats of strength, and I apparently won.
You didn't Nancy Kerrigan or something.
It was actually a cage match. It was...
break their legs or something.
Celebrity death
match. Wow, it was pastor death match. Right, it was really incredible.
That would be a great way to hire pastors. It's like we...
feats of strength.
Feats of strength.
Whoever has the Lord on their side will wins.
Sort of like a gladiator type thing, right? We'll go back to...
Well, let's try it. Right, our next hire.
We've totally derailed.
Pass that on to Jerry.
And that one wasn't me, by the way.
That was actually me.
That wasn't me. I did not derail this drink.
Uh-huh. That's actually how we found Ken, so I'll get to that later.
Leadership transition.
Right. So I've been in this role for 8 years, Ryan, and I oversee our international work, what we do in the city and what we do in the Southtown. So, all three of those areas are under my umbrella.
Wow, that's great. And, I mean, during that time, this is one of the things that I've come to appreciate. So, Hamburg Wesleyan has, with respect to outreach in some of the work that I'm involved in the urban areas, you all have been really involved in that.
I like to say we go deep and not wide, right? There's so many opportunities, but I think you've got to choose well because you can't do everything. No one can do everything, and that's why it's so important to have the whole body engaged, because then you multiply your efforts.
Yeah.
But when we first started, we just chose a few partners and went really deep with those few, and the fruit of those relationships has been remarkable. One of my favorite partnerships actually is with Jericho Road, and I know the chapels started working with Jericho Road also, but to see where they've come from to where they are today, and now we're partnering with them in Eastern Congo, which is amazing to bring Jericho Road to Congo, because we were working in Congo, and we were the glue that brought that together, and it's been fantastic to see what's happening there too.
Yeah.
So I get to see and be a part of all that, which I'm not smart enough to think that up. It's got to be God who puts those things together.
So, I mean, did you ever dream or think that this is what you'd be doing?
Never. Come on. Did you think you'd be doing this either?
Actually,
right?
Yeah, I got a word from the Lord when I was 16.
When you were 16, I'm sure.
Bouncing my checkbook.
No, never. And when Pastor Greg was at the church, we used to have this little bantering where I'd say, you know, Greg, I have the best job in the church. And he'd say, no, I think I have the best job in the church. And I think for our personalities, we were right. He was well-suited for what he was doing, but I love the role that I get to play and how I get to be a part of it.
Right.
And actually, I wake up in the morning and it's not, oh, I have to go to the church today. It's like, I can't wait to see what's happening today and to be engaged in that way.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable.
That's great.
Well, I love hearing people's stories. When they come in, Ryan, I'm glad we asked that, because it gives us a backdrop and a way to celebrate really how God orchestrates in lives and moves. And we've all seen it in our different ways and very similar. I think there's so many people that start down a path, and yours was engineering. Mine was like going to be military and police work, and everybody's got a different path, and God kind of just extracts you out of that really puts you to work for his purposes. And it's just cool.
It's beautiful that his plan plays out and ours doesn't, because I can't imagine what a train wreck my life would be if I did it the way I wanted, right?
Yep.
For all those engineers out there.
You're missing the boat. What are you doing?
All messed up. You should just quit.
Just kidding. No. Totally kidding.
God uniquely designed you for things using, a combination of your skills, your talents, your callings.
Right.
And when that all comes together, we see, and when we just listen and unlike Jonah, we don't run from our call. No. We run to our call. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah. And I think this is part of where Paul and I, like our friendship has grown. Like, I don't know about you, but the idea of having to preach every Sunday, like that being, or shepherd throughout the week, like I don't mind doing those things. Mm-hmm. But the ability to have like this creative space to kind of think and dream pastorally in a different way. One, seminary never really even showed me that that was the potential for that. But
oh, there were actually, two roles you could fill, right?
Right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And so really my secular education and my business experience really has, God has said, I'm going to use that to really help kind of forge a road for you.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of where there's a kindred spirit between us.
Right. You know, to sit in my office all week and just write messages for 8 hours a day, I would die on the vine.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. would be pretty rough.
Yeah. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That's Paul Gartley, pastor at Hamburg Wesleyan Church. I'm Ryan Cozy with Brett Larson. We're going to come back here in a moment, and we're going to dive back into the story of what is it like to lead through change? Paul Gartley's joining us today, pastor at Hamburg Wesleyan Church. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a moment.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard, or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. Today, joining us in studio is Paul Gartley. Paul is the outreach pastor at the Hamburg Wesleyan Church. We brought Paul in today to talk to you about both his story and also what has happened at Hamburg Wesleyan as there's been some leadership change there. Pastor Greg McLean is there for many years. I think you said 38 years. And leadership, you know, we all get older, and you know, there's a time for things, and leadership change happens. And when a dynamic leader who's God has used to grow a church decides it's time to go, how does that look for a church? Because it can be devastating. And we feel like Hamburg Wesleyan's done that well and led through that well, and Paul was a major part of that. And so we want to talk to him more today. You've heard a little bit of his story, and now I think we're going to go to the point where we get notice of leadership change.
Yeah.
We get notice of, hey, I think my time's coming to an end here, and what does that look like?
Yeah, and I think just for our listening audience, I think this is really important. So we love Greg McLean.
Oh, yeah.
And the influence that God has done in and through him over these years, and the reality is Greg's not done. Greg is, he's on a new assignment, you know, and so even though I don't see him nearly as much as I used to, I'm just excited about seeing him serving recently at Village Church and just mentoring, coming alongside of some young leaders, and I think you were saying even recently there's some things that are in the works for him.
But. And I even saw him Sunday night, and it had been a while since I'd run into him, and you know, his back was to me when I walked in the room and I touched his shoulder and he turned around and saw, and he had almost had tears in his eyes and gave me this huge embrace.
Yeah.
So that relationship is still present and it will be forever.
Well, that's a whole nother show and that's for another day, but it's great to see how if someone who's been somewhere for a long time and it kind of says, okay, you know, this is time for someone else to take this up, but they don't retire to the I don't want to offend anybody. The villages in Florida. Sorry.
I think you just did offend a bunch of people.
Sorry.
Be careful.
No, but he
How
didn't,
far
he,
does this go?
Picking up seashells.
Yes. Picking up. Oh, my gosh. We won't go there. We've gone there before. But, you know, what really is great is to see that happen and then say, you know what? I'm going to start this again. I'm going to start doing some other things and help others and grow through that. And I think that may be a conversation for another day, because it's not that you kind of like, well, I did that. I worked really hard and I'm good now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to relax.
Well, I can't see Greg ever retiring. He'll never sit still and just, you know, let life pass him by. He's the type of person who has to be engaged in ministry. And and I think he really misses pastoring, because he has a pastor's heart. And I think that's been the hardest part, is not having that platform to share who he is.
Yeah.
But I think he's about to find it again. And
That's great. So, you know, change happens, right? In organizations, change happens. And sometimes those organizations are big. And so this, I think, is where kind of an interesting story has taken place at Hamburg Wesleyan Church. So a couple years ago or so, when did this change actually happen?
Well, it's interesting. Our new pastor's been here a year and a few, a couple months. So about 14 months Ken's been here. So that's his part in that. Prior to that, I think we were searching. It seemed like about 7 years. It seemed like a long period, just the way it worked in our setting, in our context. But really, I think we were searching for Ken for about a year or so.
Okay.
And that was a grueling process in and of itself, just trying to figure that out and how that came about.
Right. So now a lot of people that are listening, driving around or at home, they probably don't know when a change is coming, when a leader of a Wesleyan church is getting ready to move on. There are some residual effects to the staff, And so what does that look like?
Yeah, so if you follow the letter of the law, you know, and what that looks like, when a senior leader, when a senior pastor steps down, the whole staff is supposed to hand in their resignation letters and say, we're done too. And you know, that's sort of a challenge when you're yeah. engaged in ministry. You have a large ministry and all this stuff is going on. So we didn't physically have to do that. None of us, you know, wrote our letters and handed them in. We got special dispensation, if you will, to not okay. quite go through that routine.
Yeah.
But the understanding was, you know, with the new pastor coming in, as in any church setting, I believe, that new person can evaluate and should evaluate everyone on staff and mm-hmm. see who fits, who doesn't fit, who has a role, right? That just makes sense that you
sure.
wouldn't get rid of everybody or keep everybody for mm-hmm. just because they've been there.
Right. It's kind of like a regime change in the NFL. I'm a Browns like, fan. That happens every 12 months or so.
Well, it happens here in Buffalo too, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's sort of funny as
24 months.
As Rex was leaving and all this is happening, we're like, what's going to happen? Is it going to be like that? Anyway, that's another story.
And so take us through, like, how does that affect you, you know, as an individual? I mean, you're connected. Right. You've been in the trenches with Greg. You're not exactly sure who the new leader is going to be. I mean, what does that feel like?
It was very, you know, and actually, as I reflect back, I think I had a lack of faith. I'm saying this on radio right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Because you're live.
Yeah, live. I stink because there was a period of time where it was hard. Like, what's my future look like? What's my role here? How's that going to play out? What does the future look like? And I think as followers of Christ, that's a tough question to ask, right? Because if you really trust God, he'll bring you into that future. But I found myself wanting to hold on to that and figure it out on my own.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that was a lot of pressure. And that was a challenging time. And we probably even had conversations through that time, Ryan, where you heard my heart. And it was up in the air. And
there's a very real aspect to it. It is your vocation as well.
And right.
You have a family and things right. to do. And, you know, there's a human reality to that, and I think that people can identify with. In our day and age, people listening are going through that maybe in their own job and mm-hmm. in their own life, and I think, Paul, it's comforting for them to hear that, oh, okay, well, there's a pastor who kind of felt the same way in his organization.
Well, it happens in church world, and I think sometimes clergy, people see us as separate from reality, but we live in reality too, right?
Right.
And those things are the same for us as they are others.
You don't you have to buy food. You know, manna doesn't fall from heaven just around your house.
Not usually,
you actually have to pay for things too.
Not this year.
Not this year, right? Because I lacked faith.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Paul, you hit on something, and I think it's sometimes it's important for, you know, just everyday people to understand. One is that you know, just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you don't wrestle with the same things: uncertainty, doubt, confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the more important for us to make sure that we're really pressing into God, really seeking Him. Because there are times, like, you know, I'm amazed at the amount of times that people make an assumption about me or my family, which is, you know, well, obviously you all never deal with these things. You never
float
have
on the
conflict.
Clouds. You never worry about that.
I'm going, man, brother. There's days where I ask the Lord, like, Lord, I'm going to do the work that you've called me to do, but I don't feel qualified. You know, I feel there's tons of other people that could do this better. And, you know, when a change like this happens at a church of influence, you know, those things are very real for staffers. It's not just you.
No, and in the middle of transition, that was all highlighted and heightened for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very real.
Right.
And difficult at times.
So Hamburg decides through a, you know, national search, through, you know, the leaders of the church, we're going to hire a guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan, fellow Michigan fan, Ken Nash. Ken Nash comes in. And what is...
Sorry. It was a rough weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it was.
I almost was going to say he's wearing a Michigan sweatshirt.
Yes.
And I'm a Penn State guy.
Ooh.
And so the door almost got locked on him today.
Yeah.
At least,
well,
I'm not
Penn
an OSU
Penn State is relevant
fan, right?
Again, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, I don't have to say much, really.
they're actually a decent team now. So anyway.
That was a backhanded compliment, by the way.
Wow, he goes, that was
actually,
intended.
They're actually a decent team now.
Well, were they relevant, like, for the last 10 years?
I don't. We just turned to sports
really
radio.
Think
this
so,
is fantastic.
But, yeah. Anyway, so you know, Ken comes in and you don't really know Ken.
No,
so,
we met.
You know, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so he came in and interviewed, and he met with us as staff, and we got to ask questions, and you get a, you know, this 30,000-foot view of who this guy is. And then this is a funny story. So he's hired. He's living in town. He moved in July and he started in August. So we had this month to get acclimated a little bit and figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, people started having him over for dinner and trying to get to know him. This is humorous. So my wife and I said, hey, we should have the Nashes over and get to know them. They have four kids. We have three kids. Our kids, you know, other than they're basically in the middle kids are the same age. So we have them over for dinner. We have a fantastic night at our house and get to know them. Ken and I are out on the patio talking and then shooting hoops. And I'm like, all right, this guy, you know, it was a lot of fun. Until his son came out of our house and his leg was bleeding. I'm like, what? Our cat attacked him and sliced his son's leg. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm done. This is it.
Somebody kill that cat.
Right.
The cat. Bugsley.
Oh, the cat's gone.
He went to a farm.
Cat's really gone?
Oh, yeah, he's gone. He went to kitty heaven, right?
Yeah, he attacked the boss's son.
For the record, Paul gave air quotes when he said kitty heaven.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so the cat's gone, and I'm still at the church. So I think it was a good move the way that played out.
Yeah.
But we made it through that night, and we said, all right, they didn't can me right on the spot when my cat attacked his son, so that's a good thing. And I'm kidding.
Problem with that whole thing is that you had a cat.
I know. Well, I also have children who like cats. You know, and as a father, right? As dads, sometimes we give in. Oh, gosh. But now it's gone.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's cat lovers out there saying this is...
You can email rcozy.
That's awesome.
So we made it through that night. But on that night, I realized it was the first time we had a one-on-one conversation and spent some time. I was like, I really like this guy. Mm-hmm. We clicked on a few different things. We talked about ministry, our philosophies. I saw initially were lining up, and I was like, this could really be good.
Yeah.
So from that night forward, other than his son's bloody leg from our cat, I was like, the future is bright. Right.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Right. So he ends up saying like, hey, I want you to be a part of this team or.
Yeah. So actually even that night, you know, and it was really bizarre. I said, I'm forming the leadership team of the church. You know, we call it our vision team. And at that point, it wasn't called that, but it is now. And he said, I want you to be a part of this to help, you know, moving forward, shape what this place looks like. So right from the get-go, we've had a really good relationship, which is really incredible because with Greg, I had a really good relationship also.
Yeah.
You know, Greg and I, we did a lot together. His heart really was for this city in a profound way, and that propelled us to where we are. And now I really jive with Ken too, and it's been really great to work with him this first year and a couple months.
Yeah, that's cool.
It blesses my heart to hear just how ministries are dedicated to God, not a person.
Yeah.
And how he can bring somebody in and the ministry can look different. It can take off and be a little bit different because every personality is going to be different.
But radically different. Right.
God still uses it in such amazing ways.
And the reality is we're standing on Greg's shoulders, right? With everything we do, we're standing on his foundation and what he did for 38 years.
Right.
So and we see part of the story.
Right. And we see God's sovereign hand in all of it. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, and I'm from a church here, you know, where people... You know, James Andrews was larger than life for years, and there are things that he did in his leadership that were phenomenal. There were things that changed when Andrews went on to be with the Lord that are radically different in our organization. But God's hand was sovereign in and through all of it, and that's the thing that we've got to take comfort in. You know, that God knows what he wants. He knows what he's doing. Even in the midst of our broken world, he's going to have his way.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just an important thing to remember in this process.
Well, and that's why I think, Ryan, it's so important not to pigeonhole ministry style or ministry context.
Mm-hmm. Or ministry method.
And there's so many books that really kind of actually bother me. Mm-hmm. Because you get people who are, you know, maybe struggling or starting out in ministry, and they read a book and they think, well, this guy did it this way, so this has got to... And God uses personality and leanings and tendencies to develop a ministry out of leadership that is successful for that person, for that time, for that organization. And it can change and be equally or even more successful as he shapes things. And in the course of history, no one's lived 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. So there's no ministry that's working now under the same leadership that was back then. And so we know that ultimately we have to depend on the Lord for our character and leadership and ministry. And Ryan's pointing to the clock. I'm about to hit the post.
Hit the post,
they
baby.
Call it in radio, when you hit the post is when you hit it dead on.
So go ahead and hit break. It.
Well, I can't. I got to delay a little bit. That's why I'm doing this. I'm telling people about it so I can delay, so I can brag to Ryan. No, anyway, this is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. Paul Gartley in studio. Join us as we come back from the break here on WDCX.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio.
And I'm going to interrupt you because you didn't hit the post in the last segment.
I lose intro power?
That's right. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's bad radio.
Take it away.
But it's good bad radio.
Exactly. Well, this is Christ Together Radio, and if you stuck with us through that, then you'll want to you'll want to hear the rest of the story from Pastor Paul Gartley from Hamburg Wesleyan. He's the outreach pastor there. As Ryan Cozy and myself, Brett Larson, talked to him today about leading through leadership transition, what it looks like, what it's looked like for Hamburg Wesleyan and for Paul personally, as their lead pastor transitioned to a new pastor, and so we're gonna pick up where we left off and talk about some of the new things that are happening at Hamburg Wesleyan with Paul's leadership and Ken Nash's leadership. And so, Paul, take it away. Tell us what's going on over there.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing that's happened in the last year is we've redone our entire leadership paradigm. When most of us are trained in ministry, we sort of learn this pyramid method, right, where the pastor's at the top of the mm-hmm. pyramid and lords it over, if you will, and is in control of his fiefdom, and everything that goes on in the church sort of goes through that top position, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of the model we've all been raised with and know and right. probably have seen displayed for us for decades mm-hmm. and years and generations. Well, Ken got to our place and said, you know what? We're flipping that thing upside down. So now we call it the funnel. And we say, you know, our leadership paradigm is no longer a pyramid. It's a funnel. And our job, and this is right where you are, our job as clergy is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, mm-hmm. right? And as you flip this thing upside down, all of a sudden, our job as staff, leaders of the church, is to support the pyramid. And if you could see my hands, I'm holding them up right now. Mm-hmm. But you support the work of the laity and not to lord it over them. Mm-hmm. So people come to us with ideas right now we're calling holy disturbances. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes to us with this idea, this God-given desire, passion to see something happen, typically in the old model, they would go to the pastor and the pastor would say, you know, we'd evaluate and see pastors across yeah. the region, across the world. Mm-hmm. And we think that we're the ones who need to do the work, right? We're the ones who need to make that all happen. And usually, typically what pastors say is that's a great idea, but for another time. And they get those ideas get shuffled off, yep. right? You've all seen it.
Yep. We don't have the personnel for the program.
I can't do it. I don't have enough bandwidth. Great idea for another day, right? Mm-hmm. We've yeah. all heard and seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, flipping this thing upside down, we've and this is scary, we've created a yes culture mm-hmm. where somebody comes in with that idea and we say, that's a fantastic idea. We love it. And we begin the process of equipping that person to carry out their God-given desire or their God-given mm-hmm. passion and interest. Mm-hmm. And we call it FAN, where okay. we first meet with the person, just get together, ask questions is the A, and then network them with others. And we do this with people time and time again lately. And there's some beautiful ministries being birthed out of this that people have come to us with incredible ideas. And instead of a no culture, we have a yes culture. And we're releasing people into ministry in ways we never dreamt possible.
Right.
And people are coming alive. There's something different when someone and if you hand out stuff at church, if you hand out your bulletins, keep handing out your bulletins. But I don't think for many people that's a God-given desire or passion to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But when God places something in your heart and all of a sudden you're serving out of your passions, your giftedness, and your desires to see the kingdom come here on earth, well, all of a sudden you become alive.
Right.
And we're seeing person after person come alive right now as these new ministries are launched and birthed.
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest change, and I think we've only been at it in this way for about 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. Right.
I think we're going to see profound changes in our community as a result of that.
That's the real hard work of the ministry is when you do give people that leverage and that ability to, hey, man, take your vision and run with it. That's kind of happening across the churches. I see a lot of churches kind of reconfiguring this way. It's also very messy.
Oh, it's incredibly messy. And you know what it is? It's time consuming.
Right. It's hard. It's harder.
It's harder. But it'll reap long-term benefits.
That's correct. Right. That's right. Correct.
You know, one of the things that I think about, too, in this, because we've had similar things at the chapel where, you know, there's this aspect of people, and sometimes it's just helping to flip their thinking, like give them permission to dream.
Mm-hmm.
Give them permission. Like if you're pursuing intimacy with God, what's God saying to you? And if he's bringing an idea to your mind, don't be afraid to bring it up. And there's a messiness that comes with it, yes, but there's also, and this is on the church, like sometimes churches create cultures of excellence, right? And I think we do those things with good intention, but sometimes you got to kind of lower the bar on your expectation of excellence, not because the idea is bad, but because if we want to see a viral unleashing happen, the infrastructure of control, it's got to look different. You can't keep your hands on everything. So let people dream and accept the fact that it will be messy and you're going to clean up some things, mm-hmm. but also think about the output of what happens when all of God's people have the opportunity to join him on his mission. Mm-hmm. And it's not limited by just a culture of excellence or just the infrastructure of one church alone. I think that's a really important thing.
And that's hard for pastors, right? Because we want to be in control. We want to know what's mm-hmm. happening. And when you release control, I think you do let the Holy Spirit work in new and exciting ways mm-hmm. and transform lives and create new different
right.
things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I can just think of the examples that we've seen, that I've seen even in my church context, of allowing people to take a vision and run with it. And the failures and the successes. And I think, like you guys said, the failures often pale in comparison to what God can do through someone who just has a vision and a dream, and it's their passion. It's what they love.
Yeah.
Well, Ken also came and he said, you know, I want everybody on staff to fail at least once a week. Like to try something new and to fail. Now, he said, don't fail the same 2 weeks in a row, right? Learn from your mistakes yeah. as you move forward.
Yeah.
But that permission to fail and to dream and to create and yeah. to know that everything doesn't have to be perfect is really refreshing.
Yeah.
And it releases, you know, new ideas. Well,
sure. And the greatest things are going to come out of that.
Oh, sure. Because we all learn through failure, right? Yeah. That's, as a child, one of the greatest teachers we have is, you know, doing things incorrectly.
Yeah.
And why should that be any different when we're adults really living in ministry?
Is that culture transition difficult for you? Even now, you kind of feel, does it make you a little bit pensive or a little nervous to go forward?
I may be very unique in this. I love change. I love mm-hmm. things being fresh and new and different. So it hasn't been a challenge. Whatever the change is,
you're
bring it on.
It.
Oh, yeah, because my personality type, I like new, fresh, different. I get bored with the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to embrace and run, and it's been fun to be able to do that.
Because it takes a unique set of leadership, not
sure.
just a leader, but a set of leadership to be able to facilitate this kind of thing and not go crazy and bang their head against the wall because they're not doing it the way I would. You know, that's a certain personality that has to lead that.
Well, and not everyone – you're right. Not everyone can do it because – as perfectionists, as many are, you just can't handle it. And you have to be okay with it being done different than the way you would have done it mm-hmm. and it failing at times
right.
too.
Yeah, and I don't like talking about this a ton in terms of like the organizational culture of
the
church.
Philosophy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I mean, you know, to that point though, but here's the reality. This is like the church is an organization, right? It's a body, but it's mm-hmm. an organization. And if you step outside and you go into business context or you go into innovative context, there's this aspect. It's called disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Markets get disrupted. Sure. They get disrupted. Ideas get disrupted. Companies thrive and companies fail on disruption and their response to it. And so, you know, the reality is I don't think anybody's got their head in their sand in this room that the church in America is primed for disruption. It's primed for it. So what is the organizational aspect of church going to do with that disruption? Are they going to keep their head down and go, no, same ways as always, we're just going to weather the storm? Or are they going to turn to, you know, kind of pick their head up and say, look, I embrace the fact that disruption organizationally can happen. So what can we do to position ourselves that God could be on the move in this? What is our responsibility to
right.
this? And it seems like that's something that's going on at Hamburg Wesleyan.
And to see disruption as an opportunity is mm-hmm. instead of the end of whatever you're doing.
Right.
You know, when the disruption comes, that's when you can become creative and think differently and get to the other side of it with new and innovative ways of doing ministry.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing this, and we even see this in the world of radio and in Christian radio and Christian media. That is happening now and for a good thing. And it's happening in the church at large. I think if you look at the business cycle, Ryan, to go back to your whole business training career, the business cycle, you get to a mature level, and the church in America got to a mature level for a number, maybe a half a century.
Right.
Just big churches, a Christian nation, just very mature. I used air quotes, right?
We
need to put something on the radio that can
air quotes.
And but really, a mature in the quote unquote business cycle of the church, and this disruption that we're talking about is a good thing, and it's coming in ways that we maybe didn't expect.
Right.
With so much culture change, social change, postmodernism, just, it's pretty much the norm in America. So the church has, it's forced disruption.
Yeah.
And the church has to respond differently and will, because ultimately the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and he's not going to, his church will never fail. Yeah.
Well, another show you could do, and this is for another day, is millennials and how they interact with church and what they're looking for versus what, even us as Xers or those older than us have brought to the table.
Right.
Because it's a totally different reality when you start engaging that population.
Right, and it's not, it's like when people say, well, what they're looking for, like people can hear the consumptive aspect of it, and it's actually, a lot of it has little to do with consumption.
Very little.
But wanting to align themselves with something that's authentic.
With meaning and purpose.
Yeah, deeper meaning.
What am I going to pour myself into?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? I don't want to just sit in church on a Sunday and say that's it. How does that play out Monday through Saturday, too?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Interesting. May you live in interesting times.
Mm. Well, Paul's going to join us for another week here on Christ Together Radio, right?
Sure.
I'm just projecting that on you.
I'll be back.
Because I want to dig deeper into what is happening at Hamburg Wesleyan, some of the things that you've seen happen as a result of freeing people to carry out their vision, and maybe what God has for you this coming year, anything coming up that you'd want to talk about.
Sure.
And we can just dig a little deeper into what it looks like personally in the context of Hamburg Wesleyan and leading through change. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
It's been great to get to know you and know your story and just hear how leadership does change and how times change. And one of the biggest things, I think, the takeaways, if you're listening, is that when change happens, when you're unsure, maybe your boss has left and another person's in charge of you, you don't know, or maybe you're just wondering where your future is, that we can rest in Jesus. We can rest in God's word. And Ryan, we've talked about it a bazillion million times here on Christ Together Radio, that intimacy with God, as we spend daily time in his word, praying, getting asking God to show us where he would have us and to get underneath his will, which was what prayer and Bible study does, that we can begin to rest in the comfort that he's got us. And whatever it looks like down the road 5 years from now, he's got us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great comfort in that.
Yeah, abiding in Christ, that's the B. We need to be present with God, pursuing intimacy with him. And if that's happening, that affects our do. So the be-do aspect, which Dwight talks about incessantly in his missiology, Dwight Smith. But that's the aspect, like, in order to be more like Jesus, that you must pursue intimacy with God. And that, that clarion call of what you should be doing, it just becomes loud and it becomes clear and you begin to move. And, it's very Blackaby-esque. In order to find out what God's doing and join him in that, you got to be intimate with him.
Yeah. Well, it's really the timelessness of Blackaby's study and experiencing God and other things. Just the timelessness of finding out where God's moving and getting involved in that applies across the board, across the spectrum of time and culture. So we want you to do that today. Get involved in your church, help out, and find out what God would have you to do. Get passionate about it, and all for the sake of the gospel. All for the sake of the fact that Jesus Christ has come to save. And we need to share that with the world. So this is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. Pastor Paul Gartley, thanks for joining us in studio today from Hamburg Wesleyan. Stay tuned next week as Pastor Paul joins us to talk more about what God is doing through him and his ministry context at Hamburg Wesleyan.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.